We may not be a movie star. We may not drive a big fast car. G4's killing sound every day. G4's murdering sound everywhere. And I know why. Well, I'm Errol Dunkley, original Ground Nation Foundation, international Kingstonian Jamaican artist. Said G-Force, no stop, kill, jump on sound. Boom.
Right now, you're in tune to Daddy Fridge and Mr. T, and we have an artist with us that was born in West Kingston, Jamaica in 1951. He was schooled at Seawood School for a short period of time, then went on to Kingston Secondary School, and then at the age of 14 went to Roran Hall High School, which was a private school. This artist and his good friend Junior English first started recording for Prince Buster. It's none other than the one and only Errol Dunkley. Welcome back to the UK, and thanks for giving us your time here today at Lightning FM.
Yes, Fridge. Big up Fridge and all of Lightning FM, you know. Errol Dunkley, original. It's good to be here and glad to be here, you know. I want to be here.
Seeing Errol, please let me start off by asking you, when did you know that you had such a sweet vocal cord, and when did your music career start from? As I know, your first recording was done for Prince Buster in 1962, entitled My Queen. Tell us a bit more, please.
Well, My Queen was a song, well, I must tell you the truth, right? Because we didn't have a stereo when I was growing up. I was a good listener to radio, you know what I mean? And just hearing a song once or twice, I could sing the song. So I started singing early. I did my first recording when I was like 11 year old, you know what I mean? But I never had any success until later on. And My Queen was, I want to tell you, it was like, I used to sit at my yard gate when I was a kid. I used to live, one of the time I used to live in Jonestown. So at evening time when I come from school, I would generally sit at my yard gate and sing, you know what I mean? So true that I always have a group at my yard gate, everybody want to sing, you know what I mean? We'd tell stories, sing, all kind of things that, you know, kids love to do. And this guy now, Junior English now, he was a bigger kid than I know, and he used to live down the road. And Prince Buster and Derek Morgan at the time, they were the two big stars in Jamaica. So they were like my idol, you know what I mean? I would generally leave all school and just walk, go down Orange Street, just have a look from Prince Buster and Derek Morgan, you know what I mean? So yeah, I always said to my friends, them say, let's go down Orange Street, go look from Buster them, you know what I mean? And some of them wouldn't come, but I would always walk. So I was glad when I met Junior now and find out that his friend worked for Prince Buster, you know what I mean? So Junior said, well then, him here say I can sing, and him want to sing too, so let's team up. And him would talk to him friend, and we get an audition with Prince Buster. Well, that's how it started, and Junior and I start singing. Prince Buster, at the time, Prince Buster just came back from England, have some big songs in England at the time. So he came back home now and said, well, then he must start produce, and he won about 5,000 artists or some woolly part. Some woolly part excitement in the paper. So the Sunday now, Junior and I now went down to, that time Buster had a little record store on, what was it, Charles Street and Luke Lane corner. Of a record store there. So the Sunday now, because that ad was in the paper, the street black with singers from all about Jamaica, country, every parish. Everybody come for our audition. Well, me and Junior now, we was the two littlest kid, and when we reach out there now, the amount of crowd, I said to Junior, I said, boy, Junior, we now go get you to the look on them big man. We are two youth here. So Junior said, no, man, we must get you, man. See a man with a guitar over there, so come, we could go practice. So me and Junior go across the road, and me and Junior start practice. A Buster don't come yet, you know. A Buster Sunday, and the man love go beach first before him come out of the place. So Junior and I know, ask this brother here for back way up and start sing. Face gone, face gone, my one little face gone, and she left me to weep and moan all the time. Yeah, yeah. It was Caddies, you know what I mean? Fast rhythm thing, right? So, like me and Junior Joe, we all the attention now from the gate. Everybody come, so wait, we still look at you them this, right? So, it was really exciting. So, some big man, you know what I mean? Buster friend them, Buster Strong Arms. The wool on a puck up at the gate when Buster come, them two youth are first I see him. Well, anyhow, we didn't know, and Buster ride in on a bike and move to the yard. And I tell you, man, everybody rush to the gate. I said, Junior, come, we go home because we're not going to reach it. We're not going to see Buster. And some man at the corner said, what are you talking about? Them youth are see Buster because Buster friend them and I feel them corner that. See? Me I tell you, say, we actually walk upon the people, them head, no man, them head, for reaching out the yard. Junior can't remember that too. Walk, the man, them push me up over the man, them head, and we drop in the yard, and we start singing. Buster gave me a recording deal, said we must come to, it was not a deal, him just said, well, let come to the studio, recording studio, do recording where date and day. I'm so glad now, you know, I'm going home and tell the whole of my family them, oh, me a big singer now. That's how it started, the rest of history.
All right, as we know, you started off with Prince Buster, but things were not booming for you at the time, so you moved on to Joe Gibbs and started recording some of your songs that I remember you doing while you was with Joe Gibbs was You're Gonna Need Me, also Please Stop Your Lying in 1967 and Love Brother in 1968. How did you move from Prince Buster to Joe Gibbs, and how did it help you, and how did the recordings come about?
Well, I went to Joe Gibbs. I was took to Joe Gibbs by a friend of mine who is Bonnie Lee, you know what I mean? Because Bonnie Lee, at the time, Joe Gibbs had just came into the business, and Bonnie Lee was a man in the business, you know what I mean? So he introduced me to Joe Gibbs. I did the song, but at the time, I had a recording contract with Buster. It was signed by my mom because I was too young to sign a contract. So Joe Gibbs had to buy out the contract before him could have released the song. You're Gonna Need Me, and it went number one, you know what I mean? On both radio stations.
Yes, Errol, please give us a few lines out of You're Gonna Need Me, if you don't mind.
The old town's talking about you and your new guy, you're flying high now in your single world. But you're gonna need me, but you're gonna need me, you're gonna need me, darling, and it won't be long.
Give thanks. The year of 1969, so you make another move in your career from Joe Gibbs over to Cox and Dodd. Why was this, and how did it help you?
Well, at the time, I didn't like the treatment with Joe Gibbs were giving me, so I move on to Studio One. I was introduced to Studio One by Leroy Sibbles, you know. He took me to Studio One. I did some songs there. At the time, Dennis Brown had just started working with Studio One at the time, too. So Dennis and I was there. Then Horace Sandy came along, you know what I mean? But I never had any great success with Studio One. And I did a lot of songs for Studio One. And just before Mr. Dodd did again, I just did a album for him about. Mr. Dodd did about what, 3-4 years now. Just before he died, he released an album with me. And I mean, Carl, love is amazing.
Sin, you're in tune to Daddy Fridge and Mr. T, and right now we're speaking with Errol Dunkley about some of the highlights of his career ahead of the Big Lovers Rock Gala Awards this Saturday, the 2nd of July at the 25th of July, sorry, at the Brixton O2 Academy, and on the 2nd of August at the Birmingham O2 Academy. In the early 1970s, you formed the African Museum record label alongside Gregory Isaacs, which saw you a hit movie star, but then left and started your own in 1972 called Silver Ring, which saw two of your most popular hits, Keep the Pressure On and Black Cinderella. What was this like for you?
Well, I want to tell you, Gregory and I were bridging long, long time. You know, he was the one that took me to Rupee Edwards when I did that 3-in-1 medley for Success Label. He was the one that took me there. So we didn't like the treatment that the producers them was giving the artists. So we decided that we were going to record our own thing. Hire the studio and hire our musicians and pay the bills, you know what I mean? And that's how we started out. We had a great success with Movie Star. Gregory have another song called My Only Lover, which we did release on the African Museum label at the time. Then, you know, and move on to other heights. You know, Gregory and his own, we split the museum label, and Gregory controlled the label, and I started on my own, a different label called Silver Ring. You probably see a few release on it, like Ooh Wee Baby I Love You, a cover version of Alton Ellis Baby I Love You. Yeah.
All right, the release of your debut album, Presenting Errol Dunkley, which had your hit A Little Way Different on. Please tell us a bit about how the album came about and the song A Little Way Different.
Yeah, well, I did that album for Sonia Pattinger and the Gay Feet label. You know what I mean? Those days when you say gay, you know, you're happy feet, like, you know, but right. Nowadays when you say gay, you know what I mean? Some people take it different, but that's their thing. And it was an album that came about because at the time I had a lot of hit songs, singles. I never had an album. So Sonia Pattinger called me in because I used to distribute my records at her store. She used to have a record store down Orange Street. So I used to distribute my songs to her. So she said, why don't I come and... Because she had other artists was working with her, like Delana Stewart, Marcia Griffiths, Stranger and Patsy. She had other artists working with her. So she said, well then, let's do all your hit songs them and make an album. So that's how that came about.
Errol, please give us a few lines out of Little Way Different.
Well, Little Way Different, no. As I must make the public know, it was a song that, this song came when they were trying to compare all three of us as youth, saying that all three of us sound the same way. And so I wrote this song. Every man do his thing a little way different. Yes. Oh, every man do his thing a little way different. The things I do it in a different way from you. The things you do it in a different way from I. Yeah. Oh, every man I do his thing a little way different.
Let's talk about the UK singles chart, the year of 1979. You've done a cover to John Holt's song, OK Fred. It reached number 11 in the UK charts. What made you want to do a cover? And how did it help you having a song inside the UK charts?
Yeah, having a song in the UK chart is every artist's dream. You know what I mean? To hit the Billboard or the UK national chart is every artist's dream. And that was one of my dreams that came true at the time, you know what I mean? And OK Fred was just built as a track for an album, you know, but surprisingly it became a hit single And when John first did it, it was just an album track. So that's why I thought, well, then we'll just do it as an album track. The idea came from Ozzy Hibbert, my part producer, on the OK Fred album. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Must also say it was not just OK Fred which hit the charts. You also had Sit Down and Cry hit the charts as well. So well done on that. You're in tune to Daddy Fridge and Mr. T. And right now we're speaking with Errol Dunkley about some of the highlights of his career ahead of the Big Lovers Rock Gala Awards this Saturday, 25th of July at the Brixton O2 Academy. And then on the 2nd of August at the Birmingham O2 Academy. Let me move on and ask you, your grandmother used to teach music and your mum could also sing, even though she never recorded. Do you think this helped you and had an influence on your music career?
Sure, it must have, you know what I mean? Because it's your genes, you know what I mean? And you know them say? What's in your parents' genes come out in you, the kid, you know what I mean? So it must have been.
Okay, let me ask you about a street in Jamaica. You mentioned it earlier, Orange Street. As I know, this is where you used to go from school to see the likes of Prince Buster, Derek Morgan, Eric Monty Morris, and Alton Ellis. Tell us a bit about Orange Street.
Well, Orange Street is the original music street. That's where the music started, Orange Street, definite. All the people, first runners, them will tell you that Orange Street was a street.
Okay. When you were young, before you even started to record, which artists did you look up to and why?
Well, there was a lot of artists I really liked when I was growing up. John Holt was one of my favorite. Alton, Delroy, and local scene. Well, overseas now, I used to like people like Lou Rawls, you know, man? Mean? Sam Cooke, you know what I mean?
For real.
Otis Redding. So many names, guys. Yeah, choo-choo. A lot of them.
Okay. Do you have any future plans and projects lined up that you can tell us about?
Yeah, at the moment I have a new single just released in Jamaica, doing well on the radio circuit. It's called Write Me a Letter. You know what I mean? It's an old Paragon song. But I did it in a different style now, with an original rhythm behind it. You know what I mean? And it's doing good. I have another song called Dance Before. Okay. Another new song. And it's a kind of rhythm and blues mixed with reggae thing in this one. You know what I mean? I think the British public will love it if they hear it. I'll definitely let you have it, you know what I mean?
Give thanks, Errol.
It's really gonna be on an album coming, because these are tracks that will be on another album, later album.
So is that a little secret? You have a new album coming out then?
Not for now, another few months down the line, but definite.
Okay, watch out for that new album. Errol, as you are here for the British Lovers Rock Gala Awards, can you tell us what Lovers Rock actually means to you?
Well, music is love, and love is music. So Lovers Rock is music. Simple.
Okay. Just before we finish, is there any message that you would like to give to all your all the listeners of this radio show, and also everyone that will check the interview out on Daddy Frigid and Mr. T's podcast?
Yeah, man. I can't tell the man them, you know, just live up here, sir, and come out on the 25th, because it's going to be that definitely nice night, because some of my favorite artists, them will learn it, like Louisa Marks. You have a tune I sing every day at Jamaica. Darling, I need some time to consider if I'm to accept your offer. I don't want to make the wrong decision, but oh, I'm afraid you got to understand. I think we should both think it over if we really want each other. like we think we do. Yeah, Louis, how are you? Sing that song for me. Boom.
My gosh. Errol, I can't just let you go like that. Please, give us a few lines out of Movie Star.
You may not be a movie star. You may not drive a big bus car. But I love you in every way. I love you in every way. And I know why.
It's been such an honor to be able to do this interview with you. And thanks once again for giving us your time here at Lightning FM.
Yeah, man. I'm big up all the Lightning fans, you know. And it's, thanks for having me. See, definitely, Fridge. Just go on and do what you do. Here, sir.
Give thanks, King.